Good evening. You're listening to Going Global for Spirit with Elaine Ireland. Of course, this is bbsradio.com. We're the number one worldwide internet talk radio network on the planet. Get a pencil and a piece of paper. In a few minutes, I'll be giving you call-in numbers for both the U.S. and Canada. Remember, this is an uninterrupted hour, so you have a whole hour almost to call in. Our guest tonight is Kramer Wetzel, my astrology buddy. He's back with us to let us know what the rest of the year is going to be. Welcome, Kramer.
Hi there.
Hi. What are we talking about tonight?
Oh, we can talk about whatever you want to talk about. Your life has gotten easier for you recently, hasn't it?
A little more organized.
Yeah, there we go.
A little more organized.
That's a nice way to put it. Mm-hmm. Some of the pieces are starting to fit into places a little bit better than they have in the past.
Yes, they are.
Yeah.
And folks out there, I'm a Leo, so he, of course, calls me the Leo.
That gets me in
so much trouble. Whenever he talks about these wonderful things on his internet and he on astrofish.net and he flirts with his wondrous words, when he's talking about the Leo,
Of course, you, honey.
That's a typical attitude for most Leos out there world. So what's happening in general? We are now in, what are we in? Not Libra.
Yeah, we're in Scorpio now.
Scorpio, yeah. So what's
and
happening
Scorpio's
with your Scorpio?
Scorpio's almost over. It ends next week, so, you know, we're doing good with our Scorpio stuff. Actually, what I've been playing with and what I've been having the most fun with has nothing to do with Scorpio. It's the Mars that we've got going on. And Mars is...
Tell us about it.
I can tell you when the impact first hit. I can tell you when Mars got to its stationary position where it wasn't going to move any farther than it has moved. And that came about a week ago, because that's when my phone started ringing and people are calling me up and they're just going, hey, can you tell me what's wrong? And my favorite is always, is Mercury retrograde or what? Well, this is going to have to come under the heading of or what, okay? Mars only does this about once every 2 years, and we're looking at about a 10-week period when Mars is going to be in apparent retrograde motion. And it's starting this at 12 degrees of Cancer, more or less. And what that does is it means it moves in a direction that is opposite from the way the other planets are moving. You with me so far?
I'm with you so far. And remind folks what Mars means, what Mars is all
Mars
about.
Mars is all about drive. Mars used to be considered a bad planet. When Mars would line up with you, you would like cut yourself. And what I've discovered is Mars promotes a great deal of activity. It's a matter of learning to use that activity properly. Me and my lovely girlfriend on Sunday evening, you know, the middle of the night, we both were wide awake, sitting there twiddling our thumbs going, what are we doing? Should we watch TV or something? I'm looking at her, she's looking at me, it's 1 o'clock in the morning, and she's going, are you awake? Yeah, I guess I'm awake now, huh? The deal is that right when Mars is really, it's stationary, and it creates quite a, it's not friction so much as there's sort of a, it's like a giant cosmic pause button, and somebody hit it, and everything just stopped.
Pause button, I like that.
Giant cosmic pause button, you know?
Okay. What about Mars being a warring planet?
A warring planet?
Yeah, is it a warring planet?
Well, in the Roman mythology, Mars is the god of war, and I have referred to it frequently as a little angry red planet, but no, I don't really think of it as a warring planet.
Okay.
It's just that it's about activity. It's energy. It's the closest of the outer planets, and it's really less of an outer planet that behaves more like an inner planet in the way it affects us. It usually spends about 6 weeks in a sign. It's going to be in, it's going to wind up being in Cancer from now until, like, I think it's next spring sometime.
So what's going
to
happen to the Cancer people?
Instead of 6 weeks. Well, what this does is there's a lot of, this came up, I was talking to one of my friends the other day. He said, all right, what does this Mars stuff mean for me? Because I'm a Sagittarius. He's a Sagittarius. His little girlfriend is a Pisces. Neither one of those two people are going to be particularly directly affected by Mars going backwards. They also run a retail store. They're going to be very affected by it with people coming in and out. As an example, that afternoon I had a little cup of espresso and I walked off without paying for it. That's only $2.
Uh-oh.
It's not like it's a big deal. And since I know where I live, they can find me, I'm sure. I did go back the next day and pay him. But that's the sort of thing that happens, little mistakes like that.
So how is that going to affect our psychic fair that we're having here in Austin this coming weekend?
There's going to be a number of people coming in, and they're going to be complaining about whatever it is that their mate is or isn't doing right. And it's a matter of communication and tolerance. A little more tolerance right now would sure help.
Okay. And better communication.
And I sat down to record my weekly video this afternoon. And I'm looking at the camera, and I got all the stuff all lined up, and I start talking. And then I hit the off button, and I usually review the clip after I get done with it. And I realize that I'd spent, you know, half an hour working on a clip, and none of the stuff recorded.
that's more like Mercury being in retrograde.
Yeah, I could get upset, but this is, we're dealing with this Mars stuff, and that's what I was talking about in the clip, the Mars stuff, and it's a matter of realizing that, you know, what am I going to do, get mad at the computer? That's really going to do a lot of good. I poured another cup of coffee,
okay.
And I sat back down and did it over. Everything takes two tries from here, from henceforth. It doesn't
happen
as fast
okay.
as you want it to happen.
Let me give the folks the phone number. In USA, this is a direct call. Call in any time with questions for Kramer or for me. This is a great time to get little mini readings out there, folks, so come on in. The USA, call 1-877-270-8714. In Canada, still waiting for that first Canadian call, 1-888-288-4494. Let me give those to you one more time. USA, you folks call in to 1-877-270-8714. Canada, 1-888-288-4494. This is Kramer Wetzel, Astrology. So take advantage and call in tonight, folks. Give him some good questions. Okay, what else, Kramer?
Well, one of the things that I watch little coincidences as they occur. I enjoy that about our kind of work. One of the coincidences that we have that's going to be going on in the background here, we've got a planet or an asteroid, or you can call it what you want to call it. It's Pluto.
Mm-hmm.
And Pluto's going to be moving into the tropical zodiac sign of Capricorn. Does that towards the end of January in 2008. And if you'll recall, that's also about the same time Mars turns around and starts moving in a forward direction in January of 2008. So we've got two planets that are going to be making big moves then. So they happen at about the same time, and they're impacting the cardinal signs. Now, the cardinal signs are, of course, Aries. Aries is pretty much impacted by this Mars stuff, too. This is going to throw a little bit of a... Aries are going to encounter some obstacles. And sometimes it's real simple just to back up and start over again. I wish real life was like a computer. You could just turn it off and turn it back on and everything's okay. It doesn't always work that way. It'd be
nope.
real nice if we had a little undo button in life, too. Oops, I didn't like that last thing. there was an interesting point that was reiterated to me by one of my clients, and it was, you know, we've got a generation of people that are used to having a back button. Web browsers have a back button. You don't like where you're at, you just hit the button and, you know, you go back to the previous page, the previous point of reference. That is a useful way to deal with what's going on right now, too.
I love the theory.
Yeah. Oops. Mm-hmm. Other things that are going on, we're just getting everything started rolling. The moon is now starting to fill out some. And things are getting good. Coming up on our first quarter moon here before too long. It's going to make life a little bit easier. We're also wrapping up Scorpio. Scorpio is a fixed sign. It's also a water sign. Anybody who's ever irritated a Scorpio understands. Just don't. It's easier.
Kramer, what is your I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I was just while you were taking a pause, I was going to tell the folks that they can find you at astrofish.net. Astrofish.net. Yeah. Okay,
yeah.
Go ahead.
We have lots of fun with that. I get to.
I love your site. Your site is such fun. Folks, you have to go in there and poke around. You can order charts. You can order other things. He has really cool links to other goodies. Besides that, he's a great writer. So a lot of sense of humor. It's just a fun site to poke around in, like I said. So.
And one of the things that I try to do is I try to approach this as a what I call oracular astrology. Rather than doing the deterministic, this means it's the end of the world, or this means that, you know, today is going to be difficult. It just means that today's got some difficult energy. It doesn't mean that you have to, like, engage that difficult energy. One of the lessons that I try to teach over and over and over again, and this is particularly going to be very pronounced coming up. For a long time, I lived at the edge of the lake, and there was one particular period. There was a big old fat mama bass that was just full of eggs. She had about 4,000 eggs in her, very, very pregnant, and she was trying to nest in one particular place, and she was hanging out in one particular place, and I caught this particular fish 6 times in like about a 2-week period. Matter of fact, one night I caught her twice. You would think that this fish, you know, it's not a real bright fish. They don't have a very big fish brain. They kept taking the same bait over and over again. And, you know, you would think after a while they'd get a clue and quit doing that. The point of it is that it's when somebody dangles that little piece of bait in front of us, and this is particularly, I'm thinking about this like in reference to Mars, it's we don't have to take the bait every time. You know, they put this very attractive thing in front of us. We bite it. It's got a hook in it. Guy pulls you up on the shore, takes your picture, and throws you back. It's like you don't have to keep doing that. All right? Now, it certainly amused me that the same bait worked so many times on this one poor little fish. And
a hungry little baby.
Yeah, well, she was with a child.
Mm-hmm. Many children.
many children. What I was really hoping for, usually in a situation like that, there's usually a male that hangs around to guard the nest. Once they lay the eggs, the males guard the nest, and they're particularly fun to catch because they put up a great struggle. And they're very good. Women lay the eggs, and after that, they're gone.
Would you have kept the male or thrown him back?
Oh, I'd throw them all back.
That's what
I thought. Just ran through downtown. I don't think I really would like to eat any of the fish that come out of that water. But it's a good pursuit. Anyway, I kept catching the same fish, and I, you know, after a while I'm going, you're just not catching on here, are you? That fish, by the way, was an Aries, and that fish was, this is a Mars being backwards kind of thing. They keep taking the same bait. They keep making the same mistake over and over again. What I do with oracular astrology is point out that you don't have to take that bait. Here's a plastic worm that is a color that does not occur in nature, and it's wiggling right in front of you, and it's obviously got its number 2 hook in it, and, you know, it's attached to a fishing line, which is attached to my fishing pole. Just don't bite it.
It's really very simple. How will this Mars movement affect Iran, Iraq, some of the warring nations right now? Has it had that made up?
Personally, you know, I'm a big supporter of anybody who wears a uniform.
Absolutely.
Okay? And whatever we do, we have to support our veterans and the guys in uniform. And that. I'm not getting into any of my personal peacenik-oriented kind of chatter right now. How is this going to affect it? I would hope that we're going to go back and pause long enough to examine just exactly what we're doing and why we're doing it and whether it's working and what parts are effective and what parts aren't effective.
Okay, and what about the money markets, stock markets? What effect will the Mars movement have on those?
I can't tell you what Mars is going to do to the market. I have no idea on that.
Okay.
I haven't given that any kind of a study. There's a longer-term thing that we've got coming up. We're going to have Saturn opposite Uranus. Saturn is going to be opposite Neptune, and that's going to be occurring in Wait a minute. Let me get my outer planets. Saturn is going to be opposite the planet Uranus, and that's going to happen a little bit later in next year, and that's quite possibly evidence of a recession. Now, I don't want to say for sure that's what's going to happen. We've had a couple of, if I'm not mistaken, the Austin real estate market took a 10% hit.
Yeah, it did. And in some areas more than that. But it's still moving. I have to let the people out there know that I'm a real estate agent, so I know what I'm talking about. It depends on the part of town.
It's just they're negotiating harder.
Yeah. Prices are falling. It is not a good time to sell. Prices are falling.
Prices are falling from astronomical to just out of this world.
Right. Yep, you got it.
There's still some of the. Of course, I had another one of my friends move into Austin, and he's going, "Yeah, I moved there because I could buy a house cheap."
Cheaper than California.
Yeah.
Cheaper than some parts of Florida.
Yeah. So, I guess that depends on what your definition of cheap is.
Right, and of course, the other side of that is the mortgage issues that people have to go through to buy a home. So it can make it tougher. But I look for things. I don't know what your astrology would tell you, but I look for things to pick up probably in May to July of next year.
Yeah.
At least
we really don't have another really good window until the first part of March.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people are going to be putting themselves in a position, so starting next year sometime it's going to be better. One of the difficulties that we're going to encounter is, 2008 has got a lot of promise to it. We're also going to see some established structures shake loose a little bit. By established structures, I got quizzed by one of my clients, and unfortunately, this particular era of English history is not real good with me. I'm not real up on it. I can tell you about the Elizabethan stuff, and that's about it. Shakespeare era, so to speak. And if you get on either side of that, I get a little weak. Anyway, the last time we had Pluto in Capricorn, we saw a change in houses. And I don't mean astrological houses, I mean in ruling houses. It went from Tudor to Windsor. All right? And Tudors didn't go out without a fight. And they were also the last of the Catholic kings and queens of England. Remember that stuff?
Yes, I do.
When Pluto first hit Capricorn last time, I believe it was Bloody Mary who was ascended to the throne. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw a big change up in the English royalty, so to speak.
Huh.
The monarchy or whatever it is. I wouldn't be surprised if the next prince said, not so much.
I've kind of expected the next king of England to go in kicking and screaming.
Yeah, exactly. Go in kicking and screaming. I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
This isn't fun anymore. I don't want to play this game. Monarchy? No, this monarchy thing, it's not a video game console. This is just not working right.
I wouldn't blame them. My goodness.
Yeah, this is not working out for me.
Talk about living in a fishbowl.
Yeah. In a fishbowl, you don't necessarily. Okay. But that's one example of some of the planetary changes. And some of this is also gradual. It doesn't happen overnight. We don't feel the effect right now. I happened to wake up on Sunday night going, what is it? Oh, yeah, the moon was in Sagittarius. It was getting close to Jupiter in Sagittarius. Dark of the moon, and Mars was standing still. Standing still in a water sign. And so it's like a pot of water that's about to boil, but it hasn't boiled yet.
What an image.
And you know that it's going to, but the longer you look at it, it just doesn't. As soon as you step out of the kitchen, it explodes.
Mm-hmm. You have the tea kettle in the ceiling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
When
does Mercury go retrograde again?
Oh, Mercury didn't go
retrograde. That's always a biggie.
We've got three Mercury retrogrades next year, and they're all in air signs. Last year, they were all in water signs. And what we're doing is wrapping up some relationship stuff, interpersonal relationships. And we have.
They're all in air signs?
Yeah, it's going to be in Aquarius, Gemini, and Libra next year. And so Mercury.
So when you say you're wrapping up relationships, either ending a relationship or taking care of it?
Yeah, sometimes it's just clearing the air.
Okay.
Sometimes it's just getting it out of the way.
And relationships, folks.
Yeah, this year's
well, there are different kinds of relationships. I'm sorry, what, Kramer?
Yeah. This year's been about relationships, okay? And that's been one of the focus points. If you're in a good one, I don't see problems with it. I tried to explain this at one point, and it's kind of lost. I'm still trying to work on the metaphor here, so you're going to have to bear with me.
Okay.
Texas guys.
Hang in there, Rob.
Texas guys have a tendency to do stupid things, all right? It's in our blood. We occasionally do things that take dumb to just a whole new level, okay? Sometimes we're trying to get the attention of a young lady. Sometimes we thought it was fun at the time. My favorite was there was a rope swing at one of the creeks I like to swim in. And, you know, they would go all the way out and then swing back in. This guy was taken off from the shore, and he would go out, and it would go like the swing would go through the water. Not over the water, but through the water. It kind of defeated its purpose to swing out. You couldn't swing out in the middle of the lake. It was a simple mathematical problem, but that's the sort of thing that guys would do. We have a tendency to do things that are dumb, especially Texas guys. We can take dumb to a whole new level. Watch me do this. As soon as you hear that, you know to duck. Anyway. In this last year, guys have done a couple of things that have been not just dumb, but like really stupid. It's a matter of whether you can forgive that or not, whether you can work with it or not. And at one point, you got to look at them and go, you did what? My girlfriend came to me and said, I hope you don't mind, I kind of did something. I kind of did something? What did you, I'm scared when they kind of did something, all right? Well, she kind of booked us a trip to go someplace. It was a lot of fun. But, you know, she did it without checking with me first. And I'm going, It was a gambling junket to Vegas. So, you know, really wasn't a bad deal.
Sounds like fun to me.
Yeah.
Sounds like fun.
Yeah. But that's the sort of thing that you have to watch out for is people taking. I can't even think of a good example of stupid other than to say we do things that are occasionally really stupid. And I would expect this, like, across the board in this last year, you're going to see guys doing things that are not necessarily in the best interest of maintaining the good relationship. Honey, I just bought you a new trolling motor. And I use that as a joke, but, you know, a couple of weeks ago I was in Portland, and I met one of those sweet little, kind of an older woman, but, you know, if I'd bought her a new trolling motor, she would have left with the motor, happily. So, you know, that's an example of what I'm talking about. Not always the brightest thing to do. But we are prone to doing that.
What's the next big planetary thing we need to to deal with?
The next big thing is we're going to see a regime change happening and a tone and a flavor for the next dozen years or so starting to set in. And that starts in 2008.
Wow. Explain that.
That's Pluto, and I was reviewing this before, and I'm working on an article about this. In the fall of 1994, I was working in a little place in South Austin, one of the little head shops down there, what I call the New Age stores that sell all the little, that sell tarot cards and incense and candles and all that sort of stuff.
And the metaphysical trinkets.
Yeah. Actually, the lady who ran that store was a really good herbalist. So some of it was actually backed by study. I wouldn't say scientific study, but scientific-like study. Anyway, I'm working in the store, and I had three Sagittarius come through the door, one right after the other. And they were all born between 1122 and 1126, which means they were all the first. Their sun sign would have been 1, 2, or 3 degrees of Sagittarius. And they were ranged in age from like 20 to considerably older, and they ranged in the demographics and the cultures and everything else was all over the mark. Of course, I looked for the similarities, and they were all very early degree Sagittariuses. And all three of them, at different times during that day, came in, sat down in the chair opposite me, very nice and polite, and said, "Hi, how you doing?" And I do, "What's your birthday?" And I start throwing their chart up on the screen, and start working with them. Next thing I know, they've turned into some sort of a monster, and you hear this big, deep voice, "What is going on?" And it's like there was they were possessed or something. Now, they weren't really possessed, but they were answering the first little tingles that they were getting from having that Pluto effect come along, okay? And it's something, I'm a Sagittarius too, so I've been through this. So you can call Pluto a planet, you can call it an asteroid, you can call it a planetoid, you can call it a dwarf planet, you can call it anything you want to call it. Ask any of the Sagittarius, they felt the effect. And those three reminded me of that particular afternoon in South Austin, back when that was the bad side of town too, I might add. anyway, that reminded me of what was going on. I thought about that because it's the December Capricorns that are going to start to feel this as much as anybody. The December Capricorns, the June Cancers, the September Libras, and of course the March Aries are all going to feel the effect of this stuff. And it's a great change. The trick with it is to flow with it.
I hate it when you say that.
Well, you what?
I hate it when you say go with the flow.
Oh, well.
You just got to flow with it. Drives me nuts.
You can fight it, and it doesn't do any good.
I know, but you know me.
I don't
want to
change this. Well, I didn't ask you if you wanted to change it or not. Apparently, forces outside of you considered in your best interest to go ahead and change whatever it is.
See, that's an important statement. Say that again. Forces outside of you.
Yeah. You can
that's
call
so
it
important.
Whatever belief system you have, you can address it as that. But there are forces that are outside of you that are would like to see a change.
Teach us our lessons.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah, putting us in those positions where we don't have any choice but learn whether we want to or not.
Exactly. Well, but you do have choices.
Yeah, you do. You know, you say that, and I say that, but sometimes and quite often, I feel like the choice has already been made. The universe is just letting me think I made it or didn't make it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what's scary. When you're...
I've watched clients and babysat my clients before where they've had these changes going on, and what I do is I just try to illuminate the possibilities and say, this is your chart. It's kind of like a map, and it's saying that you might want to look at this over here as a distinct possibility. It doesn't say that you have to. You don't have to make this drastic change. It's just one of those things that would be a good idea if you looked at it.
Oh, Kramer, you're a taskmaster.
No. We're just trying to say, consider it. You don't have to do this. And, well, you know, they always go, when is it going to quit hurting? When you quit banging your head against the wall? Brick wall and skull. Which one's harder? I don't know. I've banged my head against that wall before. I can preach this because I have practiced this. Now when I encounter the brick walls, I go, boy, that just looks like it hurts. You know, I don't think I really want to bang my forehead into that again.
Okay, folks, come on, respond to Kramer, USA. Give us a call on 1-877-270-8714, Canada. I love this phone number. 1-888-288-4494. Call in. Ask your questions. Argue with us. Give him some comments. This is Kramer Wetzel, astrologer. His website is astrofish.net. Kramer?
I had one, and I've already used this in one of my pieces, but it was so priceless. I was out with my girlfriend and her aunt and her aunt's nieces and then the niece's children, and I couldn't even keep track of who all was there, okay? There was a lot of family there. There's three or four generations of women all from this one family. And I'm just like this outside observer. I have nothing. I don't have a horse in this race, okay? I don't have a dog in this fight. I don't have a horse in this race. I was just an outside observer with the rest of this at this family function. And it was great because one of the grandmother types was sitting next to one of the little two-year-old boys. And, of course, I was joking about it because he had the kid food, which was basically fried. I wanted some of that. You know, it was chicken that was cut into cute shapes and fried. I think they were dinosaur shapes. I wanted the little chicken nuggets that were done in dinosaur shapes, too. I don't have this grown-up food. I don't want to have the kid food. Anyway, the grandmother, the little boy, he was about 2 years old. Now, if you know anything about astrology, we've been talking about Mars. Mars takes about 2 years to go around an astrology chart, okay? It takes 2 years to make an orbit, so when somebody's about 2 years old, they've got Mars right back on top of where it was when they were born. They call it the terrible twos. I just think of it as a Mars return. And so this little boy was doing his Mars return. That was my estimation. And he's a Texas child, so he's inclined to do things that are a little bit on the stupid side, right? Remember I was talking about the stupid?
Mm-hmm.
And put a couple of French fries on his plate, and he picked one up. And then he looked at her and started to tear up. And said, what's wrong? He said, it's hot. It was burning his fingers. Well, put it down. Anybody who's been around children for any length of time goes, yeah, just put it down, honey. That's all you got to do. It's not hard. You know.
Bless his little heart.
Yeah, and he was such a typical guy. You had to tell him to put it down because it was burning his fingers.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting that what you just said about Mars taking 2 years to go around. So we have kids that when we're born, we start in Mars.
Yeah.
And then every 2 years we go through this?
Yeah. More or less. I mean, I have to look at an astrology chart, and we have retrograde patterns, and it's different parts of the cycle, but yeah, figures every 2 years you're going to go through this.
Oh, dear.
By the time we get to be adolescent, I start looking at Saturn instead of Mars.
Okay, tell us why.
Saturn takes 28 years to go around planet Earth, or to go around the sun. And sitting here on planet Earth, it'll take between 28 and 30 years to go through all 12 suns. But if you take 28 and you divide that by 4, you can get 7-year quarters. Remember the movie The 7-Year Itch?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yep.
7-Year Itch. You watch relationships. I was at a party the other night, and it was outside and on the patio, and it was dark out, and I was listening to girls going, yeah, I was married for 14 years, and yeah, well, I was married for 7 years, and we just had to call it quits. And I'm thinking, 7 years and 14 years, that's one little cycle of Saturn. That's a quarter turn or a half turn of Saturn around somebody's chart. It's not unusual to see the 7-year cycle.
Hmm.
So that's as we get older, that's one of the things that I watch.
Rather than the Mars.
Yeah.
And then Mars plays in there too.
Mm-hmm.
This is a little depressing, you know?
What's depressing?
There have got to be some planets out there that balance this out with the same sort of pattern.
Again, with Saturn, hard work now, get paid later. You're seeing that, aren't you?
Mm-hmm. Yep, I am.
Hard work now.
The later took about 5 years.
Yeah, sorry about that.
That's all right. You warned me. You told me it was going to take time. When I got back here, you laid it out for me. I asked you for a year's reading, and we ended up talking about 5 or 6, 7 years down the road, and you were right.
Yeah.
You were very right.
But it works. And we're finally seeing the light at the end of the tunnel, and it's not a train coming at you, and there's hope, and there's a lot of good stuff that's coming up. Again, it's a matter of realizing what the energy represents and how to most effectively deal with it. The planets are retrograde right now. We've got Mars back, essentially backwards right now. That doesn't stop me from getting up every day and going to work. It doesn't stop me from talking to people. I'm brainstorming ideas. I've been wrestling with this very Pluto going into Capricorn in a concise way to wrap that one up. I don't have it yet, but I'm working on it. And some of the things that we've got coming up and how to deal with these energies effectively. We've got a real, what I think is a real fun one coming up, and at least one of my friends is works with trends in the stock market, says, oh no, this is just terrible. This happens to coincide with a recession every time. Whatever, is all I can say. Haven't we had one little course correction so far? We've got another one coming up. Course correction.
Associated with the stock market?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did I miss that?
The stock market or whatever the financial markets are that you follow.
Right. I work with investors. That's why I said it that way.
Yeah. I just said a correction. I did not say, you know, everything's going to drop.
Well, so far the investors that I work with are doing okay. They have a pretty varied portfolio, so no major damage.
There's not going to be any major damage. There will be a little bloodletting, but, you know, some of this is also inflated. Anyway, what we have coming up is we've got Saturn, which is a very diligent planet. All right? Saturn is very much like the Capricorn. Hardworking, always concerned about doing the right thing, hardworking to a fault, and then we've got, on top of that, opposite that, we've got Uranus, which is all about exploding ideas in new directions. And those two are going to face off in the coming year. When they face off, we're going to see, Uranus is actually bigger and more electric than Saturn. But there's going to be somebody, you got to watch out for people in the background that are sitting there going, we need to tend to the details here. Details. When you've done real estate closings, and there's a massive amount of paperwork that goes with that.
Oh, amen. Especially if you're the buyer.
Yeah. But that also, that's part of what makes it all go round. And, you know, if you're buying a piece of real estate, you want to know that it hasn't been owned by anybody else or whatever. That it really is free and clear. You need somebody who can sit there and go through all that paperwork and make sure that the contract is honored every which way. Somebody has to be able to read those contracts. That's what the Virgo energy is about. Somebody's got to come along and pick up the pieces. It's not glamorous, but somebody has to clean out the operating room when we're getting operated on.
And you know what? Your Virgo people love all that kind of stuff. They love the details, the creative energy that goes behind the details.
Yeah. Yes, they are remarkably creative with some of that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just weird if you ask me. Oh, one of my favorite Virgo stories. I left town and I had flipped the keys to my apartment living in East Austin at the time and had left one of my little girlfriends there. She's a Virgo. And, you know, you could have done surgery in the bathroom when I came home. It was that clean and that sterile. Of course, she threw away about half my stuff, but, you know, that's the way it goes.
And she thought she was being sweet.
Yeah, she did.
Yeah.
I did all this for you.
You
I can't find anything now. It's clean. I'm not going to do surgery in my bathroom. It doesn't have to be that clean. Thank you. God.
A friend of mine is a jewelry maker and a very talented designer, a Virgo. Smack dab in the middle of Virgo.
Mm-hmm.
The man was born with tools for hands, you know, strong nails and wide palm and strong fingers, and he uses his fingernails and his hands like tools, you know, bending prongs and shaping wax pieces. He can sit for literally days at his table designing, and it's all in the detail. And yet that creative energy is there.
Yeah.
Amazing. Virgos are amazing to me. Every Virgo I've ever known has been that way. Their profession is an obsession with them, even if it's being a good personal assistant. You know, it's just right
down the
mark.
That's one of the things that they do so well. One of the Virgos I dated was a personal assistant, and she was perhaps one of the finest personal assistants, and it was great because she took care of all that Virgo energy. She burned it up at work. And that was great because then she didn't burn it up on me. That left the
like
fun
throwing
side
your
of
stuff away.
Yeah,
yeah.
That left the fun side of the Virgo for me for after work.
Good.
Because
so Uranus is
going to be
facing off with Saturn.
Mm-hmm. Uranus is going to face off with Saturn, and that's going to be. There are people who will predict that, you know, the end of the world. I don't think it is.
No, not yet. And I say that for a lot of reasons. Not yet.
No, there's also some gradual shifts that have occurred that people don't even realize. Remember when a wireless phone,
mm-hmm.
just a wireless phone at home, was a big, huge handset and cost?
Oh, yeah.
Hundreds of dollars.
Mm-hmm. It was a luxury item.
Yeah. In this house, I don't think we even have a wired phone.
We don't
hear. Any of our phones.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the I'm still amazed with this stuff. The cell phones. I reach for one on my hip right now, you know. I have a cell phone that'll send email, it'll send pictures, it'll take pictures. It can email those pictures to you immediately.
There's even software now where you can just point your phone or your Palm Pilot at your computer and transmit information.
Yeah.
You don't even have to have a plug-in.
Exactly. There's also the...
Amazing.
Exactly, which is kind of scary. Anyway, there are a couple. Today, BBC has got a section of their website. I like BBC sometimes for news just because it's different.
Mm-hmm.
It's English and it's different. It's English. It's native English language, but it's different news. It's from Europe. Anyway, there was. They've got a section there which is made for phones, made for portable stuff. And it's being used most by Americans. This whole portable phone thing. We didn't even dream that was possible. I took pride close to 10 years ago of looking like a homeless person and being one of the few people who actually, a homeless person who had a portable phone that I carried with me.
I went to a technology class this morning, and it was just amazing. It was geared towards real estate agents, but
yeah.
It was absolutely amazing what you can do with just a BlackBerry. Is that what it's called? Or I want to call them Blueberry.
Yeah, BlackBerry
but I know it's
or an iPhone. I've got
They're
an iPhone.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can run your business from the BlackBerry.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just amazing to me. And I've only been in this game for 7 years now, and the changes, technology changes, the way people communicate with one another, and I'm sure it can apply to other professions or even just your everyday life, but it just amazes me, absolutely amazes me. I left, we had 4 hours of technology this morning, and I'm still swimming with everything. And this is all out just in the last 8 months, because that's about the time that I went to the last technology thing. And you know what we heard today is obsolete.
Yeah.
You know, 3 days from now, they'll have something else published. It's just scary, absolutely scary. Okay, what else do you want to share with us? Give us a warning
about,
make us excited about.
The paradigm shift. I was talking about the paradigm shift or the planet shift, and we looked in at the technology that we do with that, too. I'm old enough to remember I used to just carry a beeper, okay?
I
beeper
did too.
And a handful of quarters because you could then use a payphone to retrieve your message
right.
And get back to whoever it was. And
yep.
I was
and
actually
hated
in
the
grad
beeper.
School. Yeah.
Yep.
I was actually in grad school, and a couple of little girls thought that I was a drug dealer because I had long hair and a beeper.
I found out this semester that at the University of Texas, everybody has to have an iPod. Because they're uploading, is that how you say it?
Yeah, uploading.
Classes.
Yeah, doing it as a podcast. You can do a lecture as a podcast.
Yes, that's amazing to me. And it's scary, but you have to have an iPod. That's a requirement.
I've been doing a five-minute clip off my website every... It usually goes up on Monday. Sometimes it's not till Tuesday, but it usually goes up on Monday. This is a clip. It's a podcast clip.
That's exciting.
And that gets my column comes out on Thursday afternoon, and so on Monday or Tuesday I try to do something that's like an update to see you through the rest of the week to get you to the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And I just talk a little bit about where the planets are and what's going on.
Well, starting
in
January, I'm going to be having all of my classes will be available via iPod, and the book that I'm finishing up, I'm recording the book right now. It will be available via iPod.
Yeah.
It's exciting. I'm excited about it.
Oh, yeah.
So, more and more.
It just makes it more accessible. I did something this afternoon that I was real happy about. I write in the morning and I walk in the afternoon between readings. And I went out walking this afternoon and I had to run up to the post office and stuff. And one of the things that I did is I didn't listen to my iPod. It was so great and so refreshing. It wasn't plugged in for, about 20 minutes.
You know, I don't have one yet. I'm going to have to buy one so I can hear.
Yeah. Well, ask me this weekend about it. I'll point you in the right direction.
Okay, absolutely. You're one of my techie buddies. I trust you. What do we need to look for in January? So many people make plans through the holidays, and then they're going to start things in January. They're going to start things in January.
Doesn't matter what
is January really going to be a good time to start things?
No, I wouldn't even wait. I'd wait until about March before you want to start. The astrological new year starts about March 20th or so. Matter of fact,
astrological?
Yeah. In the older
astrological
phase,
New Year.
Yeah, Yule was the shortest day of the year.
March the what? Shortest day of the year?
December usually happens around December 22nd.
Okay.
Starts on the 20th this year. I mean, in 2008.
Okay.
New Year starts 20th, and it's sometime between 1st of March and the beginning and end of March is when you want to, like, get stuff kicked up into gear. Because it's not until March gets here that we're really going to be ready to go with this year.
That's important, I think, for the public to hear right now, not to start their new year until
as long as the resolutions, and January is such an arbitrary and artificial kind of time to start stuff. January is Capricorn, for the most part. And Capricorn is a sign that it bears talking about. Capricorn was originally in the northern hemisphere, is where this is decided. Western astrology, I don't know why we call it Western, because it ought to be called Northwestern, because it's north of the equator. Anyway, in Western astrology, Capricorn starts on the shortest day of the year, the Yule, usually around December 23rd or sometime in there, and that's where the Christmas celebration comes from. If you can't beat the old religions, just join them. It's easier.
We have about 2 to 3 more minutes left, folks, before Seth whispers in my ear and tells me that we have to sign off. So you've got about 2 or 3 minutes to call in. USA, 1-877-270-8714. Canada, 1-888-288-4494 to talk to Kramer Wetzel for free. Ask him a question for free. You've got a few more minutes, folks. Okay. Anything else,
anyway,
Kramer?
Capricorn is the first time when we're dealing with, it's the tide has turned. We've had the shortest day. The days are gradually getting longer, but it's also still the middle of the winter, and we're living off all the stores that we have laid up for our winter. If you don't have stuff laid up for the winter, you're out there eking stuff out in the snow, and it's pretty much of a struggle. If you have prepared properly, though, it works out okay.
You get to be snugly in your front of your fireplace.
Yeah, it's also a great time for doing the little things that we... I imagine the Eskimos at night, you know, sitting there. They don't stop doing stuff. They just don't do as much stuff outside because it's cold.
Mm-hmm.
It's more housebound. Anyway, Capricorn is about... You know, how well did we prepare, and what do we have to look forward to? Because it's going to be springtime before too long. It's going to be time to plant crops and start doing everything all over again. Start the new cycle. It's actually the beginning of the cycle. It's also the close of another cycle, too. And it's still wintertime, and it's a wintertime kind of a sign. One of my favorite things to point out is more comedians are Capricorn than they are any other sign. Just
really?
Just a odd coincidence, yeah.
Now, talk about that for just a minute. How does that make sense?
Well, it makes sense to me, but that's because I have a sick and twisted sense of humor just like they do. there's sort of a dark humor that goes with the Capricorn that you don't find with many other signs. I mean, dark to the point of being almost bleak. It's not bad. It's just a little bit weird. Like we can say,
see, that's very English to me. I think of English humor as being that way.
By the time Capricorn gets there, the sun goes down at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, doesn't come up till 9 o'clock the next morning. You'd be a little weird, too. It's not like the northern latitudes where, you know, the sun doesn't come up at all and you got night for 30 days or anything like that. But it's close. And you're well reminded of that.
We're going to have to close it down, Kramer. Thank you for being with us tonight. When will you be back?
Let's shoot for sometime in January, unless you want me to be
early
then.
January.
Yeah, that'll work.
We'll set a date over the weekend. We'll see each other at the Psychic Fair this weekend. The Austin, Texas, Radisson Hotel, 6000 Middle Fiskville Road, Saturday and Sunday. We open at 10 on Saturdays, 11 on Sunday till 6 o'clock. lectures, all that good stuff. Yes, there is a cover charge, but I can't remember how much it is, $6 or $7. Sunday's free if you sign out, and Seth is going to make me go away real quick. So, Kramer, thank you so much for being with us, and we'll see you back again in January, and Kramer will be at the Sci Fair, astrofish.net. Check him out. Thank you, Kramer. Good night.
Thank you.